This is DW News, and these are our top stories. U.S. President Joe Biden says the new coronavirus variant Omicron is a cause for concern, but not panic. Biden also says he doesn't anticipate further travel restrictions. The U.S. and many other nations imposed travel bans on countries in southern Africa, causing flights to be canceled and leaving travelers stranded. International talks on Iran's nuclear program are again underway after a five-month hiatus. The meetings in Vienna include Germany, France, Britain, Russia, and China. After Monday's talks, Iran insisted that the U.S. and its Western allies guarantee they will not impose new economic sanctions on Iran in the future. Twitter's co-founder Jack Dorsey has stepped down as the company's CEO. Twitter's chief technical officer Parag Agrawal is set to replace him. The company's stock has consistently underperformed the market, but it surged with this latest announcement. This is DW News from Berlin. You can get more news on our website. That's dw.com.
Across the globe, doctors, scientists, politicians, and you are asking, is the new Omicron variant of the coronavirus a reason to start panicking and to stop persevering through this pandemic? Well, we have been through this before as the Delta variant became global and dominant. So yes, there's every reason to be concerned. At the moment, there are few reasons to view Delta as a rehearsal for Omicron. There is still every reason to get vaccinated. Tonight, the biggest threat remains this, not getting vaccinated. I'm Brent Goff in Berlin. This is The Day.
The last thing we need is panic and overreaction. And certainly what we've seen in knee-jerk reactions is really uncalled for.
We need to resist unjustified as well as unscientific travel restrictions.
South Africa and Botswana should be thanked for detecting, sequencing, and reporting this variant, not penalized.
Closing the borders has almost no benefit.
While we have that travel restrictions can slow the speed of Omicron, it cannot prevent it. But here's what it does. It gives us time.
Also coming up, who controls the streets of Sudan, the military or the civilians? DW correspondent Mario Mueller has some answers tonight from Khartoum.
Suddenly, there's a warning that tear gas has been fired.
Here, just the police arrived behind me, and we feel the tear gas in our faces. The protesters, they were marching there, they're now being dispersed into this direction, but the protesters say they will continue to take to the streets until their demands are met, which is full civilian rule.
Well, to our viewers watching on PBS in the United States and to all of you around the world, welcome. We begin the day with the worries over that new coronavirus variant with the name Omicron. In the week since South Africa alerted the world to the new variant, cases have been confirmed here in Europe and in North America. As has happened before, by the time we detected the new mutation, the virus with that mutation had already gone global. Europe and the U.S. were quick to issue new travel bans on flights from southern Africa in an attempt to slow the spread. Now, whether this will make a big difference is debatable. Not up for debate is South African anger over these travel bans. South Africa's President Ramaphosa accusing countries of knee-jerk reactions that hurt more than help. His message, thorough COVID sequencing with transparency should be praised, not punished. While scientists rush to determine just how much of a threat Omicron is to public health, the World Health Organization is urging calm and more cooperation to get everyone on the planet vaccinated.
We shouldn't need another wake-up call. We should all be wide awake to the threat of this virus. We're living through a cycle of panic and neglect. Hard-won gains could vanish in an instant. Our most immediate task, therefore, is to end this pandemic.
Well, the WHO is holding meetings in Geneva this week that include a strong dose of self-reflection and criticism. After almost 2 years of this pandemic, many are openly asking, has the WHO protected the people who need protecting the most? With vaccination rates uneven globally and dismally low in places such as Africa, many are wondering, is the WHO still the best address for future pandemics that will, just like this one, demand an international response?
The virus that changed everything. From its discovery in Wuhan, China, 2 years ago, the coronavirus has torn through the human population, killing over 5 million people, infecting hundreds of millions more. As the death toll kept climbing, nations locked down their cities and closed their borders. Masks became part of life worldwide as scientists raced to come up with vaccines. But when the vaccines appeared, they went to wealthy countries first, leaving the rest of the world behind. And then fault lines started to appear even in rich nations, splitting societies in two, between the vaccinated and the skeptics. The virus continued to spread, mutating into ever more dangerous variants. So what went wrong, and what can we learn? The proposed treaty focuses on early detection of future pandemics, giving countries the chance to react fast. The treaty also aims to ensure universal and equitable access to medical solutions, like vaccines and medicines. And it will call for a stronger international health framework coordinated by the World Health Organization. There's just one problem. While Germany, France, and the UK have signaled their acceptance of the changes, the US has not. Another example of the divisions that have kept the coronavirus alive.
And for more now, I'm joined by Stephen Solomon. He is the principal legal officer at the WHO. It's good to have you on the program. The United States, when it comes to this new pandemic treaty, is lukewarm at best right now about a new treaty. China has only now signaled willingness to cooperate. What do you think, what does that tell us about what the pandemic has done to the world's willingness to cooperate internationally?
Thanks. Cooperation is key. The good news is that all member states, all countries that are part of the World Health Organization, including those you just mentioned, including all 194, have come to informal agreement that they will formalize on Wednesday to launch a process towards a new global compact to prevent, prepare for, and respond to pandemics. So the world, at the World Health Assembly, this special session has come together.
Stephen, let me ask you, people outside looking at this, you know, we're still in the middle of this pandemic, and talking about having a new pandemic treaty, is it, it may sound premature to some people. What do you say to people who say, you know, we're not out of this pandemic yet? Have we really learned all the lessons that we have to learn?
Yeah, we have to do two things at once. We have to continue to respond to this pandemic. It continues to evolve, as your viewers have just heard about the Omicron virus. This will continue to happen, and we will continue to face new outbreaks. We will continue to face the threat of new pandemics. And this is why it's time to get this right. Member states have come around to that idea, supported this idea of launching a global process, including all countries and all actors in this. And we've seen that this pandemic involves everyone everywhere in a process to deliver a new set of rules to deal with pandemics and to hopefully address the areas where we have not seen the kind of cooperation that we need to see in areas like equity, ensuring there is access to vaccines, in areas like scientific research and sharing the benefits of that, in areas like improving access to the products that the world needs, vaccines, diagnostics, countermeasures, PPE. So all of those areas need improvement, and they need to be guided by rules that are set down in advance. That's what member states at the World Health Organization are agreeing to now, to go ahead and do work on those areas.
The outgoing German Chancellor Angela Merkel, she says that the WHO needs to be more flexible in terms of pandemic prevention and response. You know, her message is the WHO has too much red tape, you're too bureaucratic. Is it realistic to see less red tape at the WHO?
Well, we, as I said, we have 194 countries, and the countries are have very different situations, different economic conditions. The key about WHO is it's a place where they can come together and they can work out agreements. They've done this in the past. They did this with tobacco and have a binding convention on tobacco that was agreed in 2005. That has made an enormous difference in reducing tobacco consumption. They've done this with disease outbreaks as well, but they haven't done it with pandemics. Mm-hmm. They've shown they can do it, and they've committed now to start down a path working together with the aim of producing something by 2024. And with clear milestones between now and then.
Well, let's hope your optimistic attitude is infectious, Stephen. Stephen Solomon with the WHO. Stephen, we appreciate your time and your insights tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, countries around the world are closing their borders in an effort to slow the spread of the Omicron coronavirus variant, and that's despite the WHO's advice to keep borders open and to focus on testing and tracing.
5 p.m. in the Netherlands. A curfew for bars and other venues kicks in, a measure taken to again curb the spread of the coronavirus. The Netherlands has recorded cases of the Omicron variant, all while the world is still battling the Delta variant. For example, here in Germany, with some hospitals at capacity, the German army is transferring COVID-19 patients around the country to any hospital with a free bed. Now, Germany also has confirmed cases of Omicron. To slow the variant, the world is going back to familiar measures like curfews, travel restrictions, testing and tracing. But one important tool has not been fully utilized.
First and foremost, highest priority is vaccinate, vaccinate, vaccinate. Boost, boost, boost as much as is possible, because this boosting or vaccination raises the level of antibodies and stimulates the memory cells for COVID viruses. Therefore, this is the police of the immune system that you are reinforcing during that time.
On the other side of the equator, a similar message. South Africa is calling on its people to get vaccinated. Omicron was first detected in the southern countries of Africa. Little to nothing is known about the new variant, how infectious or dangerous it is. But since its discovery, flights from that part of the world have been cancelled or delayed. Travel bans have been imposed on several southern African countries, and tourists are struggling to get home.
It's all very strange. Everything was fine when I flew in on November 11th. There was no hint of this variant. The last 2 weeks in Cape Town have been great. It's my 9th visit in 3 years. They're trying to get the economy going again. Everything's safe. I have a lot of German friends who also traveled here. Everything went mad between 9 and 11 a.m. on Friday morning. It's chaos, incomprehensible.
Those bans are unjustified, say South African leaders.
We call upon these countries that have imposed travel bans on our country and our other Southern African sister countries to immediately and urgently reverse their decisions and lift the bans they have imposed before any further damage is done on our economies and to the livelihoods of our people.
Manufacturers say they have plans in place to adapt their vaccines if necessary, but first they need to learn more about the Omicron variant.
And for more, I'm joined now by Mohamed Munir. He's a viral infection and vaccine expert. He joins me from Lancaster in England. It's good to see you again. What grade would you give the world right now in terms of its medical response to this new Omicron variant?
I think the response has been pretty enormous, and I would say sometime very unnecessary. And I think out of the six variant of concerns we have had, this is the only variant that took only 4 days for the WHO to declare this as a variant of concern. So overall response is pretty enormous. And I think I can understand why it is that, because of the extensive nature